Hi, I'm Anna Wolska with the Lupus Foundation of America, which is the founder and owner of the open access journal, Lupus Science and Medicine, that is produced by BMJ. On today's episode, we'll be discussing the paper Molecular Endotypes of Type 1 and Type 2 Systemic Lupus Erythematosus, which was recently published in Lupus Science and Medicine Journal. We are joined today by Dr. Amory Grammer, a co-founder, president, and chief scientific officer at Ample Biosolutions in Charlottesville, Virginia, and Dr. Peter Lipsky, a co-founder and chief medical officer at Ample Biosolutions, and one of the co-authors of the paper. Dr. Grammer and Dr. Lipsky, welcome. Let's start. Could you please tell us about the importance of understanding the heterogeneity of lupus?
Yes, that's a very important question, Anna. You know, we've known for a long time that lupus is very heterogeneous in terms of clinical manifestations. In addition, more recent work has shown that it's very, very heterogeneous with regard to the genetics, and there are important contributions to the genetics of lupus from ancestry and a variety of gene changes that contribute to all of the pathogenesis of lupus. However, when lupus began to be described as an entity, and then when clinical guidelines were developed, and then when classification criteria were developed, and when clinical trials were carried out, it was the tacit assumption that all lupus was similar, that all of that we could understand it as one entity. But indeed, the individual gets lost in this attempt to make one entity. And indeed, the individual has great differences that are important in terms of disease manifestations, in terms of frequency of flare, in terms of response to therapy. So by lumping everybody together, we lose the opportunity to carry out real personalized medicine. And we think it's very important that the unique characteristics of disease in each individual be identified, be recognized, because that's the only way that we're going to get real precision medicine aimed at the abnormalities in each individual with lupus.
I'm very happy to hear that, actually, because definitely personalized medicine is something that should be in mind of everyone in research and in clinics. So I'm happy that you do this study. And could you please tell us more about it and the novelty of the molecular approach applied to distinguish type 1 and type 2 of lupus?
Thank you, Anna. I'd like to give a big overview approach of the technology that made this paper about the molecular endotypes of type 1 and type 2 lupus. So Ample Biosolutions will be 10 years old in July, and we started in the beginning by examining all 20,000 available messenger RNAs, and we took the approach of grouping them by potential drug targets, cells, functions, and pathways. We made the technical decision to make a best fit of one gene per group. We developed a database of individuals with these mRNA gene expression profiles and deep clinical data. And we used iterative machine learning to reduce the immune system and inflammation to 200 groups. And there are multiple papers, 95 to date, that you can find on our website, amplebiosolutions.com, for the listeners who'd like to know more. For a particular disease like lupus, we did a series of papers culminating in the recent one where we had test and validation sets to narrow down the number of groups of genes that define lupus, which is 32. These are made up of cells, functions, and pathways. And in addition, the new information in this paper is differentiating the genomic fingerprint of type 1 and type 2 lupus, which Dr. Lipsky is going to elaborate on.
Yeah, so Anna, as you probably know, our colleagues at Duke, Megan Klaus and Jen Rogers, Amanda Udy and David Pozetsky, have done a very good job in identifying different sets of features in patients with lupus. Some have inflammatory disease that may affect the skin, the joints, the kidney, and other organs, but some predominantly have pain, fatigue, cognitive dysfunction, so-called lupus fog. Since it's been very difficult to understand the physiologic basis of fatigue, pain, lupus fog, there's been a tendency to discount it because we really can't identify the pathophysiology. It doesn't cause abnormalities in the typical lab tests. And we also really have difficulty understanding features that are experienced by the patient, but not necessarily easily measured by the doctors. But it's been clear that features of pain, fatigue, lupus fog occur in anywhere between 20 to 40% of all patients with lupus, and sometimes it's the dominant feature. Set of manifestations that are this frequent clearly must be part of lupus. And the idea was behind this study was to try to work with our colleagues in Duke and see if we could understand molecular features that define this disease. We were fortunate because they could clearly identify groups of people that had predominantly type 1 lupus or predominantly type 2 lupus, and that gave us the clinical material to apply our molecular technology and identify the molecular features of people with both type 1 and type 2 lupus. We could then use those sets of molecular features and use them to interrogate patients in other data sets. And we could find that molecular features of type 2 lupus, for example, were quite common in other data sets. We could find them both in data sets of people with inactive lupus and patients with active lupus, and we could validate to a certain degree the utility of doing this by finding that people in other data sets with the molecular features of type 2 lupus tended to have much more severe fatigue and other symptoms. So we think the advance here is to be able to show at the molecular level the genomic basis, the molecular basis of these symptoms. We think this might be useful not only to categorize patients, but perhaps also to understand treatments that might be more useful for them than what we currently have available.
So actually, I think you've answered my third question that I have for you about the value of using a molecular approach to understanding the heterogeneity of lupus. Can I ask you now, what were the main findings of your study?
Yeah, the main findings were that we could find a unique set of molecular features that identified clearly individuals with type 2 lupus. These people clearly were different than individuals who did not have lupus, but they had a distinct molecular fingerprint, and that molecular fingerprint allowed us to say, yes, this is a form of lupus, which presents really as pain and fatigue and cognitive dysfunction. What the next steps will be is to follow patients longitudinally to see how symptoms associate with this molecular signature. And we hope that the identification of this signature may stimulate our colleagues in the pharmaceutical and biotech industry to think about ways that they could target the specific genes that are abnormally expressed in individuals with type 2 lupus. As you know, everybody with lupus knows, and everybody who cares for patients with lupus knows, fatigue is the most common feature of people with lupus. And we know that the inability to understand the basis of fatigue or to treat it effectively are the most common causes of patient frustration, and also physician frustration, because, you know, physicians, as you well know, Anna, get great reward from helping patients. And when we have patients with signs and symptoms that we really can't address, it causes frustration on everybody's part. So we think by understanding these molecular features better, we'll perhaps be able to design therapies more effectively, or use the ones we currently have more effectively, and be able to begin to relieve this most troublesome symptom that patients with lupus have very frequently.
Like to just follow up on that, especially for the lay audience listening. Type 1 lupus is the lupus that we think about every day. That's the abnormalities in the immune system that biologics such as Benlysta are targeted to. Type 2 lupus, all patients and doctors are familiar with, but as Dr. Lipsky so cogently expressed, it's a conundrum about how to provide relief to patients. So Ample has a portfolio of blood tests that do three things: to predict the patient's disease status, which for type 1 lupus are flares; for type 2 lupus are the things that Dr. Lipsky talked about that many in the lay audience will think about being like fibromyalgia. And that was in a very important part of the study, is looking at patients that had immunological type 1 lupus, patients that had fibromyalgia, or lupus patients that mainly had fibromyalgia, to really be able to distinguish between these different groups. As Dr. Lipsky mentioned, there are two goals practically with this study, which are the blood tests coming to the market to be available for doctors and patients for clinical care. Lugene, that is being rolled out this year in a clinical trial, and people can go to the website to find out more about that. And then a future test, Fibrogene, for type 2 lupus, as well as fibromyalgia, and very specifically to predict disease status, the pathways, and provide decision support for drug options. Now, we all know that the majority of drugs that lupus patients take and that are prescribed are off-label. This means they haven't been specifically FDA approved for lupus. So in addition, in all of Ample's blood testing reports, we list the abnormalities, what cells, functions, and pathways. Because Dr. Lipsky and other rheumatologists know that from their experience and their knowledge of the literature, that they're able to connect if there's an abnormality in a particular cell type with a drug. In addition, working with pharma, which Ample works with all pharma, we have 20 customers to date, with the goal of assisting in increasing the chances of drug development programs. So very specifically, as Dr. Lipsky was talking about, our wish is that this type 1, type 2 endotyping paper in lupus will spark conversations with pharma that may have drugs that get the targets that are described in type 2 lupus and may encourage drug development programs specifically to relieve the fibromyalgia aspects of lupus.
I'm hearing that you become a great team altogether working this molecular approach to identify the footprints for type 1 and type 2 of lupus, which is very admirable. And I think that's the future, to always collaborate and be a team. I'm hearing as well that there's obviously great research and clinical improvement promise for this molecular footprints of type 1 and type 2 of lupus, because that could help in future therapies, yes, like you just mentioned, and as well to have the patient treated as individual. So the medicine is personalized to exact patient. And that obviously would be terrific for the patient and to a doctor, as Peter Lipsky said. Could you tell me, do you have any predictions on how the use of gene expression analysis may impact the science and medicine of lupus more than what you just mentioned?
The critical thing that we think, Anna, is that the molecular approach that we've developed fosters true precision personalized medicine for lupus patients. It's not just that as a patient with lupus, you're a member of a group. This approach allows you to be designated as having a particular set of molecular abnormalities that are driving your disease at that time. This provides information to the healthcare professional to know to link signs and symptoms to molecular pathways, to identify the specific molecular abnormalities, and then to select therapies more effectively, and to monitor the impact of those therapies and know that they're actually hitting the target and that the patient is getting maximum benefit from that therapy or not. That allows appropriate change in medication, change in dosage, and will give us the tools to permit each individual patient to be treated optimally. We think this is kind of the potential of being a revolution in lupus care. We all know, we've all treated many lupus patients, and we know that there's a certain aspect that is based on clinical experience or trial and error. And frequently, this delays a patient getting on optimal therapy. It prolongs the period of time of active disease, which is associated with damage, with many of the bad outcomes. We think by using this molecular analysis to profile the patient and to identify the best drugs and then be able to demonstrate that the drug is doing what it should be doing in that patient will give the physician the tools to really treat each individual patient more effectively and to, you know, foster true precision medicine. So that's our hope. And we think that it could be transformative for many patients with lupus.
Yeah, that's great. And I totally agree. It would be transformative and revolutionary. So thank you very much for your hard work on this project, Dr. Grammer and Dr. Lipsky. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Anna. It's been a great pleasure to have this opportunity to discuss our work. But more importantly, it's been a great pleasure to work with terrific colleagues. This study was done with our colleagues in Duke, but we've had the opportunity to work with many other excellent scientists and physicians on a number of other projects. And we're working to make life better for people living with lupus. And we hope we can contribute in a small way. And if we do, then everything that we've been doing, we will gauge as a complete success. So thank you for this opportunity to chat about our work. And we very much appreciate all of the wonderful work that the LFA is doing. And we wish you the best of luck on your own research.
Thank you so much. It definitely takes a village to do a good science. And so I'm sure you're going to be very successful, because it sounds like you have a wonderful village of a team. Thank you, Doctor. That was Dr. Grammer and Dr. Lipsky describing the research on the molecular pathways unique to patients with type 1 and type 2 of systemic lupus erythematosus. I'm Anna Wolska. Thanks for listening, and please don't forget to tune into the next episode of our podcast.